Adam Kala, I want to give shkach to the organizers of Start Your Day Torah Way for the opportunity to speak. Any share tends to be a little bit of work, so it might sound strange to give thanks for being given so much work. But the truth of the matter is that the topic for the share today is in Yonei Tefillah. Tefillah is one of these things which is Olam Tzichum Chizuk. And what I've looked into the Indian myself over the last couple of days has given me also a lot to think about, giving me a chizuk in my tefillah. Ashloisha Dvoim Olam Omeid Ala Torah Vala Voida Vala Gemilas Chasodim. The three pillars upon which the world rests: Torah, Voida, and Gemilas Chasodim. And as such, it shouldn't be a great surprise that we're makdish so much time to tefillah. In fact, if you work it out, I'm thinking there's 24 hours in a day. Of that, the average person sleeps 8 hours. Let's say they spend 1 hour eating and 1 hour on inyane aguf, whatever they need in terms of their personal self, leaves them probably a maximum of about 14 hours for everything else, whether it's Mili de Kodesh, Mili de Chol, whatever it is, maybe about 14 hours. Of that, a person on average on a normal day will spend probably about an hour and a half davening, which means that we're matish over 10% of our entire lives to davening. It's an enormous amount of time if you think about it. It's not surprising in terms of the fact that this is one of the three things which Olam is Olmed on, but there is maybe something which is very, very surprising. And that's, maybe I can use a marshal for it. If the marshal, you've got the business venture and you're a bit short on capital, as most business ventures tend to be, so you approach, you want to make an approach to the bank manager, you need a substantial loan for your business. What do? First thing is, you make sure that your business plan is very, very clear. You write up your business plan, you might even get a professional to help you write that business plan. You do chazor on your business plan several times. In fact, you probably, the night before, you probably do chazor in your sleep as well. You know all the facts at the tips of your fingers. You're really well prepared. You walk into that meeting and you're very well prepared. And one thing's clear. You know how you want to approach this and you know what you want to achieve from it. That's what you do. You don't walk into the meeting and say, thanks very much for meeting me. And say, so what do you want? You say, I'm not quite sure what I want, but you never know, maybe we'll work out whilst we have a talk. That's not the approach you use. And yet for davening, it's true. We've got a very well prepared speech. It's prepared by the greatest professionals of all. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah prepared the speech for us. That's true. But have we done chazor on the speech? Have we learnt it up? Do we know exactly the points that we're making? Have we got them at the tips of our fingers? I'd say it's worse than that. Do we know what we're actually saying? Do we know what the words mean? And then, even if we do we have any targets? Do we have anything we want to achieve with our davening? You know, if you ask the average person honestly, did you daven this morning? Look at you in shock. What do you mean, did I daven this morning? Of course I daven this morning. What do you think I did? You always daven? Of course I always daven. Why do you always daven? What do you mean? I've been davening since I was a child. My father used to daven always as well. And where do you think I know from? My grandfather used to daven. Of course I daven. What do you mean, do I daven? Why do you daven? Why do I daven? Why do I daven? I daven today because I daven yesterday. That's basically it. Why do I daven? Because I always daven. Which is a fairly poor approach, one would think, on the basis of the marshal that we we just gave, it's a fairly poor approach. The truth is that davening is a very complex tool, and we use it in a very, very blunt way. We know very little about how davening works, very little about how to approach davening, what davening is meant to achieve, the various types of davening. There's a medrash on the pasuk Veschana Nel Hashem Veisahi Leimoi. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I was mispalo to Hashem at that time. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to go and say to Israel, and he said, I was mispalo at that time, I was mispalo. And then he describes the tefillah which he made. We'll go into that maybe in more detail later. But the medrash there says there's 10 lashonot for tefillah. This is the medrash rabba. Shavo, Tzarka, Naka, Rina, Pitzur, Kriya, Nipul, Pilul, Pigia, Tachina. Each one of those is a lashon of tefillah. That means it is a description, it is a title for a type of tefillah. It's not just 10 ways of saying the same thing, it's 10 different types of tefillah which are described there. The Yavkut Shemayni there brings down that there's 13 forms of tefillah. There are 13 different types of tefillah. The Yavkut Shemayni adds Atira, Amida, and Chilul. And for each one of these, the Medrash brings a proof that this is a form of tefillah. When we say that they are a form of tefillah, what it means is that each one performs a different function. And in reality, for us to daven properly, we ought to know each one of those forms of tefillah and to know which one to use in which circumstance. I was thinking, by the way, that there's a machlokes, there seems to be a machlokes between the Medrash and the Yalkut on exactly how many lashonos of tefillah there are. And one of those lashonos on which there seems to be a machlokes is Atira. And Atira is from this week's parsha. The proof for Atira is Vayeta Yitzchak Noisa Tishtoi. That's the proof for tefillah. Vayeta Yitzchak to Hashem the Noisa Tishtoi ki Akorahi Vayi Osa Loi Hashem Mata Ritko Ishtoi. So Yitzchak Zaman to Hashem the Noisa Tishtoi. That's how we always translate it. That's the translation that the Onkelos uses. So, what's actually the machlokes between the Medrash and the Yalkut? Why does the Medrash not seem to include it as one of the lashonos of tefillah? I was actually thinking that if we look at Rashi carefully, the answer lies in Rashi. Because Rashi says for us, Vayetar, Hirba v'hivtzib tefillah. Hirba v'hivtzib tefillah. He davened at length. We'll talk about that maybe a bit later. And length, Chazal tell us, we know in Veschanan he davened the gematria Veschanan, the number of tefillahs that he davened. Vehifted the tefillah, he pushed hard with the tefillah. Vayeosaloi, nifta v'nispayis v'nispateloi. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu accepted the tefillah. Va'oimani, says Rashi, kol lashon nata lashon haptzara v'ribuyhu. I say that wherever you have the term ata ayin tof reish, haptzara v'ribuyhu, it says a lashon of haptzara v'ribuyhu, and he brings proofs for it that it's a lashon of haptzara v'ribuyhu. The Sifrei Chachamim explains what Rashi is getting at there. The term vayeta means to go over something many times, to push hard on it, to put a lot of effort into getting it through. That's Hatzor V'ribui. It's not essentially a term meaning tefillah. We're using it in connection with tefillah, but Ba'etzel it means, that's the meaning of it, it's Hatzor V'ribui, and Rashi brings proofs that it means Hatzor V'ribui from things which are not necessarily to do with tefillah. Actually, in reality, there's a medrash here which brings a machlokes Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish on what the lashon of Atira means here. Vayetar. Rav Yochanan says that it's the lashon of Oisha. A lashon of Oisha. Atar, the shin and the top, what grounds between the Aramaic and the lashon Hakodesh, is a lashon of Oisha. Oisha means wealth, a tremendous amount. And Rish Lakish says differently. It's a lashon of hippuch, and we'll discuss Rish Lakish maybe later on a bit more. She hippuch has a gezeira. According to Rish Lakish, we'll see that it's a lashon of tefillah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's a lashon of, as he says, it's a lashon which was of oisha, meaning a tremendous amount. And so I think, the other way around. Rabbi Yochanan says it's a lashon of oisha, and Rish Lakish says it's the lashon of being mahapesis. Rish Lakish's lashon is a lashon of tefillah. Rabbi Yochanan is this lashon of hirba behift. So I suspect that's actually Rashi's following the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan and explaining why it should come to mean hirba behift, that hirba behift to tefillah. And that maybe is possibly the debate between the Medrash and the Yalkut in Vaishanan, whether Atira is one of the Lashonos of Tefillah specifically or not. One thing's clear though, that Tefillah comes in many different forms. As we said, it's not just, you know, say, we talk about snow. Snow is snow. The Eskimos have 10 words for snow, because by them snow isn't just snow, there's all different forms of snow, because they live with snow all their lives, and therefore they've got 10 different words for describing snow. And that's not, it's not just use this word, that word, or the other word to say the same thing. There's 10 different forms of snow. For us it's all the same thing. Unfortunately, tefillah seems to be all the same thing for us as well, whereas in reality the Medrash says there's 10 different forms of tefillah, or according to the Yalkut, 13 different forms of tefillah. I actually saw Shimshon Pinkas, sorry, in the Bracha, has a sefer called Sha'arim B'Tefillah, in which he devotes one perek to each of these forms of tefillah and goes into an explanation of how these, of what each form actually means, and how one's meant to use each form of tefillah. He's got a lovely muscle there in his Akdoma. He says he's Madana, the way maybe most of us approach tefillah. Someone buys a new car, good God, and he learns how to drive it, and he spends his life driving it, and he's very happy with the way he drives it, and he gets absolutely everything he can from it. The maximum he ever gets out of it is about 30 kilometers an hour, and when he hits that 20 miles an hour, he hears the engine roaring and the thing, you know, shuddering. He just about holds it together. The problem is, when they taught him to drive, there's one thing they left out. They told him it's got a first gear. They never told him it's got a second, third, fourth and fifth gear. So he never gets out of first gear. So he hits 20 miles an hour, he's absolutely pushing it to the limit, and he thinks he's getting the maximum he possibly can get out of the car. He doesn't realise the coincidence of the car, and the car could go 100 miles an hour as well, because no one ever told him it's got another four gears. So he says, a beautiful marshal, and he says, that's the way we govern. No one ever told us how to get out of first gear. No one ever taught us that, you know, in different circumstances you use different forms of tefillah. So I thought, and maybe to take the opportunity to discuss one lashon of tefillah. See, as I said, Rav Pinkas, Chaim Levrach, and his sefer discusses all the lashonos of tefillah, 13 lashonos of tefillah, and he explains each one in a particular way. I wanted to explain one lashon maybe it doesn't really fit with the way he explains it. But I'm explaining it according to how the Gemara says it over, and so if I've understood it wrongly, I apologize. This lashon which we have here in Toldos, Vayet Hayitzchok LaHashem L'Noichach Ishto. You know, I'm going to just pick on one point from one of the forms of tefillah and try and talk about that just for a few minutes now to finish off. In reality, we get it wrong. You know, we have shiurim. In fact, he said that there in his Hakdama, and nowadays one of the main avodas is actually tefillah. He explains why one of the main avodas is actually tefillah. We wouldn't. You know, we all try to attend shiurim. We sit and learn. We sit and learn Gemara. We put in a lot of time to our Torah as we ought to. But tefillah, everyone thinks that they know it already. In reality, we should sit down and learn tefillah, learn perish, literally explaining, understanding, translating the words alone, and then going more than that, going into understanding what the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, some form at least of understanding of what they were achieving with this tefillah, and then learning all the various aspects of tefillah so that we can utilize them properly. Anyway, maybe just pick out one nekuda, as I was saying, from this lashon of tefillah, Vayet Hayitzchok LaHashem L'Noichach Ishto. Vayet Hayitzchok LaHashem L'Noichach Ishto. We said, I'm calling it one of the lashonos of tefillah, going on the basis, I think it is a machlokes of Reish and Reish Lakish, but going on the basis of what Reish Lakish says, we'll call this one of the lashonos tefillah. And there's a Gemara which talks about this. It's brought down in a couple of places. It's also Tom Tebe Elio. I think it's brought down a couple of different ways, this lashon. I think it's Tom Tebe Elio or something. It says like this. The basic lashon is like this. Gemara in Yevamah says, Omer Rav Yitzchok. Even Omer Rav Yitzchok, by the way, there seems to be a few different gifts as Omer Rav Elazar. I don't know why there's two or three different gifts here. Lama nimshela tefilas shel tzadikim lata. Loi melocha. Ma ta ze ma hapeichet atavua. Begoyren. Mimokim lemokim. Av tefilas shel tzadikim ma pechet datoi. But there's another case of midoysof shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mimitis achzorius. And there is also a case of midas rachzonus. I'm saying lemitas rachmanus. Why is the tefillah of a tzaddik compared to an atar? What is an atar? An atar is a pitchfork. What's the connection between a pitchfork and the tefillah of a tzaddik? He says because they achieve the same thing, the same concept. You take the pitchfork and if you know what you're doing, if you've ever seen a farmer with a pitchfork, you can take an entire bale of hay and flip it over onto the other side, from one end of the garden to the other end of the garden. You can take, that's the way they use it. They take tavua, they take the cut crop, and they flick it over using their power, literally from one end to the other end. If you ever try to use one yourself, you find it's not that easy. But maybe it's the same with tefillah as well. If you know how to do it, the way the farmer does it, it looks very, very easy. But that's because they're professional at it. Ask tefillah of Shal Tzadikim. The tefillah of a tzaddik is also like that. That he uses his tefillah to flick over the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mahapech datoi, or midoiso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midos achzorius, le midos rachmanus. He can take it and he can change it right over. So I think it's very important, it's very enlightening to see what it says here. Lama tefilosan shel tzadikim nimshala lata. Why are the tefilos of a tzadik compared to lata? It doesn't say tefila is compared to lata. It says tefila of a tzadik is compared to lata. Maybe that's also lies in the debate between the Medrash and the Yalkut, whether it's a normal lashon of tefila or something completely different. because it appears that this is a tefillah that a tzaddik can be mispallow, not a tefillah that the hamoinam are mispallow. But the tefillah of a tzaddik can change things from one extreme to the other extreme. It can take a mitzvah din and change it. I'm not sure whether it means change the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misnaik with the world from mitzvah din to mitzvah rachmim, or somehow change the mitzvah din, utilize mitzvah din for mitzvah rachmim in some form or the other. But one thing is definite, that the tzaddik can change the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noyak with the world. That's a tremendous koyach. That means that the tzaddik with his tefillah can turn things upside down, can turn the world on its head. And that's the tefillah of a tzaddik. That's what a tzaddik is. When a tzaddik davens, that's what a tzaddik is trying to achieve. And maybe that lies a little bit in what Chazal tell us, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is mis'aber l'tefillah from shel tzaddikim. And maybe it means this type of tefillah. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the obvious and more certain messianists. For instance, that Yitzchak and Rivka were both Akar Bakara, and therefore by nature, by the normal way of things, it was impossible for them to have a child. It's not just they hadn't had a child, it was impossible for them to have a child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a situation which is impossible so that they would daven. And when they daven, they switch it over, they flick it over, they change nature on its head. And now they're able to have children. That seems to be the koyach, or the aspect of tefillah which a tzaddik achieves. What about the rest of us? What about the rest of us? You know, Rabbi Sosa Lamps might have said that, I don't know, maybe it's written down as well, when I was young, I thought I could change the world. When I got a bit older, I thought maybe we'll concentrate on my town. I got a bit older still and I decided let's have a go at the family. And now, I'm hoping I can change myself. And maybe that's actually a little bit describes what we need to try and do with tefillah. You see, the Sefer Yitzchak says that there's a big problem people have with tefillah. The approach is like this. The Ribbono Shel Olam, I believe 100% in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam controls the world. He decides what's going to happen. If he's decided that this should happen, it will happen. If he's decided it shouldn't happen, it won't happen. What difference is my tefillah going to make? I'm going to change the decisions of the Ribbono Shel Olam? And the Chayit's a fair question in a way. And unless every person is meant to see himself as a tzaddik, and therefore his tefillah is Doma Latar, and he can literally change the das of the Ribbono Shel Olam, whatever that means, then yes, he's got a good point. And in fact, you know, that's actually, I think it's really the kasha of Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah, and the Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah has his own approach, brings from Rabbein Tam, brings seven answers on it. But the Sefer Yitzchak says like this: people make a very big mistake. The mistake they're making is they imagine it's true, the Ribbono Shel Olam is goyzer, but they imagine that that is now immutable. It is, it's only if you're looking in one single line. If you look at it from different angles, you'll see it's not immutable. Why? So that is. Because Bokul, for instance, is goes on a person that they should have a good year, that their fields should be very productive this year. What would happen if the person now decides that he's not going to sow his fields this year? He's not going to plow, he's not going to sow, he's not going to reap. What would he get from his field? The answer is nothing. Shabbat was going to, like, going to do very well, but the person's got to be mukun lekabo. He's got to be prepared to accept what Shabbat was giving him. Not only does he have to be mukun lekabo what Shabbat was giving him, but he also has to be on a madrega to receive what Shabbat was giving him, and that can be bein letoy bein lera. Shabbat was going on a person at a specific madrega. If the person's matriga changes,
then they've changed. And they're no longer the same person as they were when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going on them. Therefore, the Gezeira which was made at that time was made by a different person, not about them. And it says that Bein Toiv, Bein Nira, and that's the idea of Tefillah. When a person is mispalel and he brings himself close to the Ribbon Shalom and he creates himself, within himself a greater core of the Ribbon Shalom, he's a different person now. And that's what he's trying to achieve with Tefillah. That's what the Sefer Chaim says. I thought maybe I'll end with an idea I heard from Rav Osher Weiss. I heard it as actually the term Torah convention this year in last year in America, and I heard him speak. He said a wonderful idea. On Vayeschanan El Hashem, he said Vayeschanan El Hashem. The Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel Begimatria for Eschanan, 515 tefillahs, each tefillah unique tefillah that Kodesh Baruch Hu should let him into it, so, and it didn't happen. That's the problem. You know, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, the Gemara in Brachos tells us, I think it's Reb Chanin says, that Kol HaMarich B'Tefillasai Ein Tefillasai Chayshay Tzrekom. Someone who's marich in tefillah, it never returns Reikam empty. And who was marich in tefillah more than Moshe Rabbeinu at that moment? It was Mispalel 515 tefillahs. Moshe Rabbeinu's 515 tefillahs. Imagine what they were like. And they weren't answered. It says, Radloch, Atosa, Daba, Eli, Osa, Daba, Asa. So he says, I'm cutting it short, and I hope I'm remembering the totem of what he said. Actually, the wrath of a genius, and it works out still, so it must be worth it. It says like this: Ribbono Shel Olam never let that tefillah just go, but it doesn't always answer it in the way that we expect it to be answered. He answers it in his own way. The world will last for 6,000 years. Sheshes alofim, stated in the Gemara. 6,000 years. 2,000 of Toyu, 2,000 of Torah, 2,000 of Ben David, 2,000 of the time of Mashiach. There is another case as well. The world will be destroyed at the end of 6,093 years. I found the case. I don't know where it's from, but I found it pulled down. 6,093 years. Now the Gemara we were talking about before actually makes a cheshbon and says when it's talking about the 2,000 of Toyu, 2,000 of Toyu, it makes a cheshbon, and it works out that Matan Toyu took place in the year 2448. So if you make a cheshbon, Moshe Rabbeinu Vayeschanan El Hashem took place in the year 2488. 40 years later, at the end of the time in the Midbar. The world will last for 6,093 years. If you do 6,093 minus 2,488, you get, I don't know, 3,605 years, if I'm not mistaken. 3,605 years. 3,605 divided by 7 comes to 515. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm not going to take your tefillahs, your 515 tefillahs, Moshe Rabbeinu, and let you into Eretz Yisrael. You cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. It was made the Shavua, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael. But not as a shame that those tefillahs are wasted. He wanted to say like this, Rav Osher Weiss. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, I take your 515 tefillahs, and I'm storing them away. And each Shemitah, I take out one of your tefillahs. And the zechus of that tefillah will stand for Klal Yisrael through all the trials and tribulations of that Shemitah, of that 7-year cycle. And for 515 Shemitahs, I'll use your tefillahs. And that will take us, that will get them through to the year 6093, exactly 515 Shemitahs later. None of your tefillahs will be chayzer reikon.